Yep, there it goes. Okay, please kneel. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with this new chat room and the technology and all that, so that we could do this work that you would have us do, and to gather in fellowship and worship and pray and praise and just be with you. It's just amazing. It's the most blessed day of the week, and it's nice to be with our eternal family members. And so we thank you for your presence being made known unto us. Thank you for blessing us all throughout this service, giving us wisdom and understanding and discernment. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And thank you for letting it be that you and you alone are glorified. And thank you again for healing us, whether it's spiritual or physical healings. And we also thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. And we lift up this prayer unto you to the best of our ability, in the name of your Son, who is our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. Okay, we are on question number 24, and as I promised, this question is going to be more or less about Ron Wyatt, because we had some issues in this. Well, anyway, let's just let me go with it here. It's and if you're new to this study, just click above the chat room. You'll see where it says POGM Home. That's the main website, of course. And then it says Sabbath Study Notes, Sabbath Day Sermon Notes, and then Times We Meet. Just click right now, Sabbath Study Notes. It'll jerk you down if you want to read along. But it's just like with the Sabbath Study Notes, I think we're on question 24. We'll do 24 and 25 today because 25 is just a one-word answer. So, but anyway, hold on a second here. Okay. All right, so question number 24 is, if it was necessary also that the patterns in the heavenly things themselves should be what? All right, and this is going to become a web page on the site. So before reading the passage given in the study, but thanks anyway there, Brother Gorin. before reading the passage in the study, I need to make a comment so as to clarify something that has been moving in small circles within and without the church for about 14 years now. I got wind of this maybe 10 years ago? I don't know. It's been a while since Ron Wyatt died. But, anyway, I believe it's time right now to strike it down, as it may affect the faith of some of the faithful if confusion is allowed to have its say. In recent weeks, there has been some question regarding the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. Some think it had to be shed in the same exact place, the biblical type, or the lamb's blood was shed in the earthly sanctuary. Men like Ron Wyatt have declared this is so by claiming to have found the Ark of the Covenant. And even though he never physically produced the Ark, nor did he even have a photo of it, some still believe what he said about the Ark and Christ's blood for some strange reason. Very, very confusing. But anyway, Wyatt claims that when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, that the water and the blood of our Lord trickled down the side of the cross, went through a crack in the rock that was holding the cross, and then dripped directly onto the Ark of the Covenant that was supposedly hidden in a cave under Golgotha, where Christ was then being crucified. Okay, all right. Not only is there not a single Bible verse to back this claim in either Old or New Testament that Christ's blood needed to be sprinkled on the earthly copy of the Ark of the Covenant, the man Ron Wyatt died almost 14 years ago before he could prove he actually found the Ark under that rock. So it's just an assumption of his we have to go by that says it's there. You know, he's the only one on the earth that made that claim that it's under Golgotha. And worse yet, the man was a Seventh-day Adventist in good standing at the time of both his discovery and his death. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church was in apostasy 14 years ago. I mean, it's been in bad shape for quite a while, especially since 1888, but it wasn't in full-blown apostasy until after, of course, Sister White died. So, but some do claim that Ron Wyatt spoke out against the SDA Church a time or two, hoping this will lead some into thinking that he's trustworthy and should be promoted as a man of God. But I know of no man or woman, you know, that is blessed of God in Scripture that was blessed with revelations from God or visions or even granted special dispensations while in bold and defiant disobedience to the Lord's written command regarding coming out of Babylon. Now, before I'm taken out of context, there's a couple of websites out there that declare on their blogs that I say the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the whore of Babylon. That is a bold-faced lie. I've never said it ever. They are a sister to fallen Babylon. The whore of Babylon is obviously the Roman Catholic Church. I got over 10,000 pages on my website confirming that as fact. So for them to say that, anybody that goes to my websites can easily see the guy, you know, whoever said it is lying. So we have historic and we have prophetic evidence that the Seventh-day Adventist Church was at the time Ron Wyatt was alive and still is in apostasy to this day and is now confirmed as well as documented to be a sister of fallen Babylon. And again, some have claimed Ron Wyatt spoke out against the SDA apostasy. Well, I've yet to see such sermons, but still, even if he had, why is it he never left the church when Scripture clearly defines apostasy as the main fruit of Babylon? In Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5 says to come out of Babylon. In any event, I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 9, but I'm going to go from 20 to 28 and not just verse 23. So I'm going to read from 20 to 28 so that people get an understanding of what's going on here. And it says this, verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern or the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin and unto salvation. So, I mean, it's pretty plain what's being said here in this passage. For his blood, I mean, Jesus is the minister of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. This we know. Okay? From what we gather in the Word, we find that after Christ died on the cross as a sin offering for all of mankind, the ceremonial law could have no force, no more. It was gone. This is perfectly addressed and confirmed as truth in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. And that's, of course, where the world likes to take out of context and says we don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore because it mentions Sabbaths. But those are the Sabbaths of the Leviticus chapter 23, verses 23 to 38. And it even goes so far as to mention the new moons and the holy days. And so it's not weekly Sabbaths that are being mentioned, because there are no full, you know, new moons and blood meat offering and drink offerings on Sabbath. That's only the annual Sabbaths that Leviticus talks about. And I'm not going to go into detail here, because I already go into that on my Law of God page on the website. So, but still, these ordinances were connected with the moral law, and they were wonderful to behold, as we saw them fulfilled perfectly on Calvary. When Jesus died for us, the typical shadows of the ancient Jewish tabernacle no longer possessed any virtue at all. This is why we see the temple veil ripping in two directly after Jesus died. This means Ron Wyatt's theory, and it is only a theory, as there are no scriptures to confirm it, can't possibly be true. What I mean is this. After the sin offering was killed in the earthly tabernacle, the blood was then sprinkled upon the veil or on the Day of Atonement, and on the ark itself, right? So thing is, when Jesus died, that veil tore in two, confirming that the earthly tabernacle was no longer necessary. The daily and the yearly typical atonement when the earthly priest offered up the blood of the sacrifice for sins committed was no longer to be made after that point. That being the case, why would his blood need to trickle down a rock to splash on it? Now, some will say that, oh, wait a second, his blood made it there before the veil was rent. Well, but I have to say to you, there is not a single Bible verse in the Old or the New Testament that declares sin offerings were allowed to be alive when their blood was sprinkled. Absolutely. Every single solitary time a blood sacrifice was offered, the blood sprinkled was always that of a dead victim, 100% of the time. Still, the atoning sacrifice through a mediator is essential because of the constant commission of sin. That's a no-brainer. We know this. This is life on earth, right? So, if you have studied the sanctuary and its prophetic administrations, you know that we are right now going through the Day of Atonement, prophetically speaking. That means just as the earthly high priest would offer up the blood of the sacrifice, Jesus is now officiating in the presence of God our Father as our high priest, offering up his shed blood, the better sacrifice. Just as the incense that wafted over the blood-stained veil of old, our prayers today must be mingled with the cleansing drops of the blood of Christ. How is it possible in this Day of Atonement when there is no earthly tabernacle? It is because it's being done in the heavenly. Because if what Ryan White is saying is true, then every prayer we've ever offered is a waste of time because there's no incense to begin with and no blood being offered, ever. This is why one of the reasons Satan is getting people into the idea that we need a third temple too. When Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, a new and living way was opened to everyone. We know all about the law being written on the tables of our heart now. We know this. This is not something we have to be taught. This includes both the Jew and the Gentile, by the way. And Jesus was from that day forward to officiate as priest and advocate in heaven for us. Now, how can his blood dripping on the earthly ark do any of this? The earthly tabernacle was only a copy of what was truly happening on Calvary. How can the earthly be considered after the veil was rent in two, unless it is the world we seek to embrace? Are we not? And are we not the remnant of her seed, taught to be seeking after the heavenly city? The earthly Day of Atonement had to be done annually, and the sin offerings daily. If Ron White is correct that the blood of Christ is spilled on the ark after his death and after the temple veil was torn, then the temple needs to be rebuilt so as to continue the sacrifices, else mankind's doomed. But then that takes away from what Jesus did for us, doesn't it? And that's the key. That's what Satan wants people to think. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago was a waste of time. We need a Messiah. But if the Word of God is correct here, and we know it is, the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ is perfected in the heavenly sanctuary. In other words, the blood of lambs, oxen and doves offered for sin is now worthless. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 to 17 says this. Same chapter, by the way. Amazing how if people would just read their Bibles, they wouldn't fall for stuff like this. But it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he'd entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, and by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, here's the key here. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So, and here's another key. This also goes well with Sunday Sabbath. They claim that Jesus changed the Sabbath to Sunday when he resurrected. But that's impossible. The change has to be done before he dies, so that once he dies, the testament is solidified. But he never changed it before he died. They come up with this clever twist on scripture to make it look like he did it after he arose. But you can't do that. You have to make the statement and then die for a testament to be locked in. Yeah, it's like a will, like a last will and testament. Amen, Kenneth. So, you know, if Jesus didn't write these things down before he died, him getting up on Sunday had nothing no power whatsoever. The priest on earth offered the blood of beasts upon the veil every day. And the ark, of course, once a year on the Day of Atonement. As we know, the tabernacle on earth was a mere copy of the eternal one in heaven, not made by human hands. Each day, the blood of beasts was offered for the sins of the people. It pointed to the true and spotless sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that cross 2,000 years ago. That being said, I must ask, why would we believe the literal blood of Jesus would have to be spilled upon the literal copy of the ark? How can type officiate for anti-type? And how can the literal blood of Jesus be continually offered on that ark over the centuries for our sins when the ark has been hidden and the temple veil torn and the presence of the Lord completely removed from it? I mean, there's no Shekinah glory whatsoever anywhere there. Isn't that where it's supposed to be sprinkled for, in the presence of the Father? Would it not be far more powerful for his literal blood to be offered in the original tabernacle that Moses was told to make a copy of? Is this not what we just found written in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 20 to 28, which confirms is actually happening right now? In other words, Ron Wyatt's theology of the literal blood of Jesus Christ falling upon the figurative ark of the covenant is not only a lie, it sets the stage for Jew and Christian alike to see the need for a third temple and another Messiah. Is this not what we see most Sunday keepers preaching today, by the way? They need power behind their sermons by going after those that have already embraced Sabbath and supposedly understand the sanctuary truth. And so if they can get people like Seventh-day Remnant people or Seventh-day Adventist people or even a Sabbatarian Baptist who has some inkling as to what we're talking about, and not a lot, but they have some, if they can get those kind of people that are considered Bible thumpers to agree with them, well, they're going to go after you with tooth and nail. They're going to get you to agree with them. This is why I get the emails I get from all these strange ministries out there wanting us to, you know, join them in this, because they can't get recognition. I mean, is this not what we see the Jews actively hoping to bring to fruition as well right now today with the Third Temple talk? What those that promote Ron Wyatt's heresy fail to realize is if the blood of Jesus himself, and there's a lot of people doing this, by the way, but if the blood of Jesus himself was needed to spill on that ark, it would also have to spill again for the atonement of mankind each and every year. And that heretical act takes away from what our high priest, our Lord, our King, our Savior is doing right now in the heavenly tabernacle for his obedient people. To further confirm this as fact, Romans 8:34 says this, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Christ Jesus is repeatedly represented in Scripture as continually standing at the altar, momentarily offering up the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He is the minister of the true heavenly tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in the temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Acts 7:48, right? But Ron Wyatt's theology pulls Jesus Christ off that cross, or completely nullifies the cross, actually. Even though he's using, see how crafty this is, how the devil works? It looks like the cross is being used and administered here, but at the same time, it's pulling it away, saying we need another Messiah now. We need another temple. Or it's just saying, bluntly, there is no heavenly temple. What we put on earth is it. And here, we are all-knowing, all-powerful. Our high priests are those that we should bow before. I mean, the Pope's been pushing that theology for eons. This is why people bow down in front of the Pope and kiss his ring. This is what they're going for here. If they can get these Pharisees with the boxes on their foreheads out there to go all over the place and accept worship, they're going to go for it. They missed their heyday. They haven't had that in centuries. The popes, they've been trying their heyday for all along, you know, and they're doing it now. The Jews want that back. And this is one way of getting there. The daily and yearly typical atonement is no longer to be made, but the atoning sacrifice through a mediator is essential because, again, of the sin that we're committing each and every day. So, how can his blood on the earthly ark do anything for the sins of man when the true sacrifice is already officiating in heaven? Jesus is officiating in the presence of our God in New Jerusalem, offering up his shed blood, just as the high priests on earth offered up the lamb slain for thousands of years. All the religious services, all the prayers, all the praise, and even the penitent confession of sin ascend from true believers as incense right now to the heavenly sanctuary as we speak. But Wyatt's theology declares it must still pass through the earthly temple wherein even the presence of the Lord left when Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago. We got to build that temple. We got to get the table of showbread up there. We got to get the laver, the baptism, the altar of burnt offering, the mercy seat, the ark itself. We got to somehow get the Shekinah glory back. And then we definitely got to get that incense burning there in front of the veil. And then where are we going to get the blood? We can't go to heaven, even though the Bible says that's where it's being shed. It's being offered on a, I would think minute-by-minute basis for most of us that commit sin often, right? Most of the people in the world. And so those that claim Christ Lord, of course, the people that don't claim Christ Lord, there's no offering. It's just damnation. That's where they're headed. But anyway, how can the blood of Jesus be offered as a sacrifice of sin as it was in the Old Testament times when the Shekinah glory for which it was offered has left the building? Unless the intercessor, Jesus, our Lord, who is at the right hand of the Father, presents and purifies all by his righteousness, it simply cannot be acceptable to our God. Satan knows that. He wants us to rely on self. He wants us to rely on flesh. He wants us to rely on what we can do and what our religious leaders can do. Jesus now holds before the Father the censer of his own righteousness. His own merits are right there before him, in which there is no taint of earthly corruption whatsoever. That being said, Ron Wyatt is a false teacher. Ain't no way of getting around that. And I do have one little quote for my Seventh-day Adventist friends that are being pulled away that, read Spirit of Prophecy. And I'm not going to mention it here because Spirit of Prophecy says not to do so. But I am going to put it on the website when I put this page. Hopefully I'll get it on the site this week about Ron Wyatt. And because I've been dealing with this question over the years. And like I said, maybe 10 years or so since I found out about it. And it always irked me, but I never really looked into it until recently. And I praise God for that, because now I got what I need to, and my brothers and sisters now can have, you can borrow anything you want from the site and use it, But anyway, that leads us to question number 25, which more or less makes it that that easy enough to finish up. Okay, could it be that they need another temple for the ark that is amazingly found? There is no need for a third temple, none whatsoever. What the temple represented finished at Calvary. That's why the temple veil ripped. There is no reason for the temple. They can make a third, a fourth, a fifth. They can make a skyscraper temple for all I care. There is no reason for it unless Satan wants to stand in as Jesus Christ incarnate, which he's planning to do. So there is no reason. Anyway, in number 25, and this, of course, closes out lesson number 15, and the next lesson has to do with the cleansing of the sanctuary, lesson 16. But this one here, question number 25 says, in one word, what was to be done to the sanctuary at the end of the 2,300 days? Daniel 8:14 says, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So what's the one word? It's pretty easy, ain't it? Starts with a C. I'll give you a hint. Ends with a D. Amen. Cleansed. So I hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.